All right, it is time for another episode of the Compo Outdoor Show. This is Craig Compo. I'm the host of the show, and we talk about a lot of different stuff every Saturday, sometimes local events, sometimes completely other side of the planet stuff. Sometimes we talk about politics, humor, fish and wildlife issues. A member of the Laundry House Gang, which is a group that's met for 40 some years. Every Wednesday, we meet now at TVSA, and we talk about, you know, what's coming up, hot button topics that the general public isn't always paying attention to, but rights we're about to lose and stuff. We're not a radical group. We're just, our whole message is we want to keep Alaska Alaskan. So it's not a whole lot wrong with that. If you grew up here and you like the way it used to be and you don't like what it's becoming, pretty crazy. But anyway, I have... I follow the political scene a little bit, and I like to, there's certain politicians, speakers that I think can just, sometimes they put it in such common sense language that it's hard to, if you're trying to be as non-biased as you can, if you, like, you're an alien that just landed on the planet Earth with no political leanings either way, and you'd listen to this guy talk, well, he's got a funny Southern accent. I love the guy. I think he's funny sometimes, but he's just, he puts it in simple terms that are hard to argue with. I'm going to play a little bit of this. We're going to play a few sound bites today, just the little ones I've collected. This is Senator John Kennedy. I think he's out of Louisiana, and he's on a news broadcast, and he's just talking about if you're a Democrat and how you're kind of forced to go along with the some of the really unreasonable ways, even as non-biased I can be, they just seem unreasonable to the human being, to the planet, to a lot of affected people and everything. I don't know. It's just anyway. Let's give this a listen. This was, I don't know when this was recorded, but not long ago. But just listen to John Kennedy. Here we go.
If you're a Democrat in today's Democratic Party, you're not allowed to fire bad employees, to fire bad teachers. You're not allowed to cut wasteful spending. You're not allowed to deport illegal immigrants. You're not allowed to oppose MS-13. You're not allowed to like cops. You're not allowed to prosecute thieves who steal less than $950. You're not allowed to question vaccines. You're not allowed to oppose sex change operations for minors or transgender people in women's bathrooms or playing women's sports. You're not allowed to oppose critical race theory in our schools. You're not allowed to oppose reading porn to grade schoolers. You're not allowed to oppose racial quotas, but you are required to use certain pronouns and to believe that men can breastfeed. Now, I don't think I'm being unfair. This is what Democrats and Congresswoman Ocasio-Cortez now believe, and a charitable interpretation for this kind of behavior does not exist, and the American people look at it. And they just want to jump out of a moving car. And that's why Democrats are polling right up there with scalp psoriasis.
Okay. Yeah, that's John Kennedy. He was in Alaska recently, by the way. I didn't get a chance to go see him. I think he was in Anchorage. But, yeah, interesting character. He's got that old southern sheriff drawl. But he just makes a lot of sense to me. And I like politicians that can cut through all the BS and just kind of lay it out there. Pretty crazy. So anyway, that's Senator Kennedy. There's a few of them like that, but he's, I love the way he always says, you know, I think I'd rather just drink weed killer than be a part of that party. You know, he's got these one-liners that I'm sure he has them, you know, in the back of his brain, ready to go when he's on there. But he's a good communicator. He's fun to listen to, and I don't know. I just always thought he was kind of a hoot. There's a guy I hadn't heard of that's kind of humorous, Frank King. Now, when it comes to hunting, I consider myself a subsistence hunter. I think most of the people that I hunt with, and we're not there for anything really other than the meat and the camaraderie. That's, you know, a good time to get away and get your body aligned, get your mind aligned, and put some protein in the freezer. I've always given away my racks that I don't have any, I don't put any value. They're not edible. A lot of people want to, you know, hang them all over the house. That's fine. I just don't have a full freezer than a full den with the racks in it. So anyway, that's my theory. But, you know, and the sport hunting is a word a lot of us in Alaska that really hunt for the protein and the healthy food. The people that are paying, especially as you get older, you're paying more attention to your cholesterol and your, you know, the avoiding chemicals they put in the food feed that gets in our animals, you know, steroids and such. So anyway, I'm a subsistence hunter, but in the States, you know, obviously there's people that a lot of people put in the hunt for the food, but there is also a sport hunting side of it. People that go out and just do it for the sport. And this is Frank King, who does a little, a little comedy skit, a couple minutes long on sport hunting. So I'm going to let you listen to, I'd never heard of this guy before. I think he's pretty funny though. Listen to him. What's going on here? Hang on. Stand by. We're going to get it going here.
Life Club. North Carolina Wildlife Club. They're like Ducks Unlimited for deer. Deer hunting is their big thing. So I go to the cocktail party before the event, you know, just soak up the ambiance, get a feel for the crowd, the group. And I kept hearing this expression. I kept hearing people say, the sport of deer hunting. The sport. So I threw out my first joke, whatever it had been. And I said to them when I opened up, you guys think deer hunting's a sport? They're all nodding yes. I go, okay, all right, I'll bite. Now, name me one, just one, other sport where your opponent has no idea he's playing. I mean, until the opening gun goes off, the deer has no idea he won the coin toss and elected to receive. It's 0-1 before he knew what hit him. I said, I can understand it being a sport if by state law you had to chase the deer down, tackle him, and choke him out, you know? A little hand-to-hoof combat. Now, when I was a kid, it was an outdoor recreational activity. It wasn't a sport. Here's something else that's changed. Nowadays, when I was a kid, you didn't have to wear orange in the woods. Nowadays, you have to wear a certain amount of orange if you're hunting in the woods. And I knew exactly why, but I asked the audience, hoping for just the right response, and I got it. How come you gotta wear orange? Some yahoo in the back yells out, so another hunter will not mistake you for a deer. I said, so let me get this straight. Here in North Carolina, we're selling guns and ammunition to human beings who lack the ability to distinguish other human beings from deer. I said, forgive me, but couldn't we clear this up with something simple like, I don't know, a leg count? I mean, here's my philosophy, I said. If you find me in the woods on all fours, shoot me. I said, we don't need a gun when you buy a weapon in North Carolina. We need an IQ test. I said, I got an idea. We'll do it like the cops. We'll have a photo lineup. Yeah, a bunch of deer and a guy. And I'll make it easy. Famous deer, Dasher, Dancer, Prancer. You can't pick out that guy. No gun for you, Elmer Fudd.
Yeah. All right. That's Frank King. I don't know where he's from. I think he's kind of funny. But yeah, you know, and it's funny. He's talking about, whoop, I lost the mic there for a second. Talking about orange. And I think I've told this on the radio before. I don't know how old I was, probably 11 or 12. And my dad showed me a picture. It must have been an aerial shot. I remember it was over an area deer hunting in Wisconsin or Minnesota, somewhere in the States. And I noticed that everybody had orange on. And I looked at my dad and I go, Dad, why do they all wear the same color outfit? And I, you know, as a young man, young boy, old, you know, 12-year-old, whatever it was, I had no idea. I had been hunting with my dad for years and never saw orange in the field. And he just said, well, you're kind of spoiled, son. He goes, we have a lot of real estate hunt here. And some areas they don't. They're all crowded in the field and trying to get the deer in there, and they're all wearing orange so they don't shoot each other. So they have to see each other. And I couldn't wrap my head around it. I guess I was spoiled. Still am. I like to go where nobody goes. I like to hunt where you don't see another boat all day, or maybe just one. I like the boat hunt. I've always done that. I've hunted just a very small number of times off a snow machine or four-wheeler, but I like the river. There's something about it. It's I don't know what it is. It's so hard to describe for me, especially, you know, we have a couple of cabins on the lower end of the river I hunt, and I don't even slow down when I'm going up there by those. I love to get to our hunting camp, which is about 75 miles up the river, because the further you go, the quieter it is, the it's more beautiful. You're getting, you know, there's areas where we're going uphill every bend, you know. The distance between the Delta Bridge, the elevation distance between the Delta Bridge and where we go up the Good Pasture is about a quarter mile elevation change. We go from like 700 feet to 2,200 feet. And you think about that, that's a quarter mile of going straight up basically over a long, and over a 7,500 mile, it's actually about 120 mile where we get to 2,200 feet. But it's amazing, you know, you've just got the water. You can feel the boat just lifting on every bend. You can feel the surge and the slope and the water getting faster and clearer, and more animals, less people. It's I don't know, that part of it is, to me, is I don't know, it's always been therapy. It's there's nothing like it. I think about it all winter. I get my boat ready during the winter. I get things ready. I haul fuel up there during the winter, so we don't have to ration so much. So when we're up there, we can do it. It's tough this year. I haven't bought the fuel yet, and I should have done it before the war. But I haven't bought the fuel. I'm hoping things settle down so we don't have to pay such a premium for fuel. But anyway, those are a couple things. The back half of the show, we're going to have some more fun. We're going to talk about a couple of subjects that I've always had an interest in. Climate change or global warming or whatever they want to call it. And then aging. I turned 65 this year, and so I want to talk a little bit about that. And I'm going to have a couple of comedians that bring that on as well. They talk about those things because it's just fun stuff for me. We put a comedy show on every once in a while. We just started it at Ivory Jack's. We're going to do it again, I think the third week of April. We get up there and do some stand-up comedy with Benny Lynn Satterberg. I think Satterberg will be in town. A good buddy of mine, Ron Abbey, is going to try and make that one. He's funny. Captain Eric Spitzer, who many of you know, one of my best friends, and a guy that he does his own radio show, a different channel, but a different station, but you can listen to it. I think it's on Tuesdays, midday. I can't remember the time. It's called Eric Spitzer Off Duty. So anyway, we'll be back after some commercials. We're going to have some fun in the back half and listen to some good comedy and talk about issues that are important to me. This is Craig with The Outdoor Show. Stick around. Okay, and we are back. This is Craig with The Outdoor Show, part two, April 4th, 2026 in Fairbanks, Alaska. We were talking about a little bit about politics and hunting and so forth. A couple of things I like. And I like to collect little sound bites of humorous jabs at the antis that push back on some of the causes we believe in or don't believe in. For example, one of my favorite comedians over the years was Dennis Miller. He did Weekend Update on Saturday Night Live for many years. I really thought this guy was, he had a unique sense of humor. He put a lot of things in perspective, kept them, catch you scratching your head thinking, why is this so hard to understand? It's common sense stuff. George Carlin was that way. I went and saw George Carlin at the Patti Center in 1974. My mom took me there, and it's the, She was so embarrassed because he had come out with the 7 dirty words you can't say on radio or television. And I was 14. And I just thought that was great. And she was like, why did I bring you here? And we were all sitting on metal chairs at a Patty Center. It seems to me it was 40 below. I remember it was really cold because he made a joke about frozen peas in Alaska. I remember that he said he didn't think you had an option. That's the only kind you could get. I just know why I remember that one. But yeah, he did his 7 words and he got the audience rolling. He went, you know, that started there was a big lawsuit over all that and freedom of speech. And anyway, George Carlin was a genius. You know, he made so much common sense. He thought stuff up. I love watching his old shows and stand-up stuff. Too bad he's moved on. But Dennis Miller's another one. Dennis Miller is somebody that I've really learned to respect over the years. I always tried to call his radio show. He had a segment about Tell Me Your Best Ronald Reagan Story, and I could never get through. And I wanted to tell him about the time that Reagan was in Fairbanks. I've told this story a number of times on the radio, but it's when Reagan was staying at Frank Murkowski's new place and they lost hot water. Nancy wanted to take a shower, and it was just Ron and Nancy there and their Chinese cook and security all the way around the place. We had partied with them when they were off shift the weeks before, and we grew up with that family. And yeah, and Reagan had to, he couldn't figure out, there was no hot water for a shower at like midnight or 1 o'clock. And he crawled under the stairwell, got out the toolbox, got a pipe wrench, found a valve that was had an airlock, cracked it. You know, and he just mentioned it in passing to Frank, you know, months later back in D.C. Frank was senator at that time. It was like, wow, that's pretty crazy. Let's see, what else we got? Okay, well, we're going to play some Dennis Miller. And this was on global warming. This was a few years ago, but I always thought it was common sense. And it just coming from him, I get a chuckle out of it. I think he's got a simple, smart, humorous way to put stuff. So here's Dennis Miller on global warming.
Global warming? Well, listen, this sounded legit to me, so I thought I'd best do some research. I don't want to piss away on this one until I know what's up. I've got kids. There's a lot of differing data, but as far as I can gather, the crux of it is over the last 100 years, the temperature of this planet has gone up 1.8 degrees. Am I the only one who finds that amazingly stable? You know, I'm always amazed, as per chaos theory, I don't wake up one morning and it's 3,000 degrees, and I'm just a big Kingsford briquette and a pair of jammies. 1.8? Are you kidding me? I could go back to my hotel room tonight and futz with a thermostat for the next 3 or 4 hours. I could not detect that difference. Yeah, I'm kind of glad it went up. I'm always a little chilly anyway. And you know, the money I'm saving on sweaters, I put into a cookie jar to buy a 30-06 to blow a caribou's head off with. It's the circle of life, Simba. But environmentalists, they don't want to hear it. They get really cranky. They'll give you that guilt card. Well, what about your kids? Of course I love my kids. I hope they live to be 100. It's another 1.8. And they give you, what about your kids' kids? 3.6. I'll just tell them we moved to Phoenix or something. Then they get really crazy on you. Well, what about your kids? You know, I'm never going to meet them. I'd like to tell you they matter, but they don't. You get around 4 kids out there.
Yeah, that's Miller.
I assume I had relatives thousands of years ago could care less about me. Well, should I leave the cave today and use a blunt instrument to kill a mastodon and procure some meat, or should I get ready for Dennis's arrival in the mid-1900s?
Yeah, that's my buddy Dennis Miller. I love that guy. harkens back to our Al Gore days. You know, we did the frozen carving of Al Gore, Rudy Gore, and I put that together, and that made it onto Fox News. It was the number 2 story on Drudge for a while. If you haven't seen it, I think the website is still up, frozengore.com. You can go back and see the ice sculpture we made. Incidentally, we're putting a lot of this stuff we have on our website. We have a website called Laugh You Long Time. and it's kind of a poke at it's kind of fun. We put our stand-up acts we do on there. We do at Ivory Jack's, and I'm putting up all the Satterberg fake stories, like last Wednesday, the story that he was gonna run for governor. He was the 19th name in the hat. We put a story out on that. A lot of videos that we've done, the Lost Tribe of the Lower Chena, where we tricked the Riverboat Discovery and their 450 passengers into thinking there was this prehistoric tribe actually living on the banks of the Chena, just above where the Susan Butcher camp is. And we had Glenner and myself, and they got a little bit of trouble over that, I guess. I don't know why. People don't laugh enough anymore. That's the problem. You know, we just don't laugh enough. I don't know what's going on with people, but yeah, we got to laugh more, you know, we got to do some more laughing. Speaking of laughing, I turned 65 not long ago. I'll tell one of the jokes that I told at my first stand-up gig. I said, yeah, I just turned 65. I said, my body's definitely feeling it. Mentioned I'd like to be able to do more than one thing at once, like, you know, cut my toenails and breathe at the same time, and just things like that, where you're getting older and things are becoming more difficult than never were. I said I went to bed the other night, and I wrenched my back as I got into bed, and as I'm laying there, I sneezed, and I felt that something in my neck, just I couldn't turn my head, and I'm laying there almost helpless, thinking I'm probably one fart away from total paralysis. So yeah, that was almost a true story, but not true, but almost true. But one guy that makes a living out of stand-up, and he's just hilarious. I'm going to try and play a little Andy Higgins, or Huggins, Andy Huggins. He is, to me, one of the funniest guys. He's, I don't know what he is. He's got to be 80. He's got to be close to 80.
With the patch.
I'm going to try and find this. Because I got to go to somewhere where the language is okay. Let's see where he starts. Andy, about 13:30 on this. He talks about a lot of different things, but he really cracks me up. So we're going to listen a little bit of Andy Higgins.
Hey, I'm not done talking. Hashtag catch these hands.
There we go.
I was on the internet earlier researching my family history. Turns out I'm Scotch-Irish on my mom's side, Scotch and soda on my dad's. But I did quit doing drugs in 1985. I wanted to focus on my drinking. So now, no alcohol. No alcohol. What I drink now, my favorite drink is Red Bull and Metamucil. We met in a grocery store. My mind was wandering. Accidentally bumped into Laura. Laura got annoyed, said, WTF. Said, no, AARP. For our first date, we went out to dinner, or as Laura called it, lunch. First night together was a disaster. Laura believes in the zombie apocalypse, and I forgot to tell her I sleepwalk. I wanted to be fair with Laura, so I told her I was older than I looked. She said, that's not possible. Laura slept on camouflage pajamas, slept in camouflage pajamas on camouflage bed sheets. Instead of foreplay, I had to go on reconnaissance. Didn't always go well in the bedroom. Laura didn't hesitate to let me know. One morning I woke up and my body was outlined in chalk. There were pennies in my eyes. Laura got pissed when we broke up. I don't own a car, so she keyed a Metro bus. So now I'm on the lookout for a rich widow woman. I want to spend my twilight years to some lady's geezer toy. A geezer toy is like a boy toy, but with shorter hours. A lady asked me if I wanted to participate in a polyamorous relationship, which involves multiple partners. I said, sure, but we're going to need name tags. I will pay anybody $50,000 to find me a lady friend. Now she has to be kind, she has to be fun, and she has to be wealthy, because I'm going to owe somebody $50,000.
Yeah, that's Andy Higgins. I like that guy. He's probably too popular now to get into Fairbanks. I've asked Leonard and Jerry about this before, and yeah, some of these guys are just making too much money. I already booked up for a year in advance. Anthony Jeselnik is one of my favorites. I went and saw him in Seattle. He was great. But yeah, it's fun to listen to these guys. We do stand up. We love doing stand up. We're looking for another stand up person. We try and alternate every time we're going to do this. We just started it. We did one this winter. We're going to do another one the end of April at Ivory Jack's. We're going to tell some real life Benny Lynn stories. We'll have three or four people get up and do 5 or 8 minutes of comedy, and then maybe tell a true life Benny Lynn story. I've got an amazing one I'm going to tell that, you know, it's one of those things you just couldn't make up. And for those of you that don't know Benny Lynn, he's the owner of the Pagoda restaurant. Hilarious guy, good friends with Guy Fieri. I was lucky enough to be invited to, I think it was his 60th, Guy's 50th or 60th birthday party down in California at Benny's restaurant. He's got a beautiful restaurant down there on Burlingame overlooking the ocean, and probably some of the best food I've ever eaten. But it was a party where you all dressed up as a celebrity, which I love to do for Halloween. I've done, you know, the My Pillow guy, Mayhem from Allstate. I've done Captain Obvious from Hotels.com. I've done Ted Sadler, the Mattress Ranch guy. I even did Guy Fieri, but those are going to be on the website also, the Laugh You Long Time. So remember to go there. If you're bored one day and you want a good laugh, we've got our comedy gigs on there. We're adding stuff all the time, just stuff we've collected over the years that I find real funny and other people seem to really like. Some videos we made that went viral. So we're going to have fun with that. But anyway, that's going to be the show for today. I just wanted to make everybody laugh a little bit. There's not enough of that going on in the world, and so I try and change that a little bit. Maybe I did, maybe I didn't. Anyway, we will see you next week. Stand by for more KFAR programming.